Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung, and welcome to Prophecy Today. I'm here at Broadcast Central, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and right after we finish 90 minutes of information to you, the body of Christ, looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy, Judy and I load up and we head over to Columbus, Georgia, the Grace Baptist Church. This church has sponsored us, Judy and I, on the mission field for many, many years, and we so appreciate their love and their support for us. We're looking forward to spending time with Pastor Seth Hahn and all of his fine people. A one-day prophecy conference starting at 9:45 in the morning and then 11 o'clock also Sunday morning, and at 5 o'clock for prophecy Q&A, 6 p.m., we'll take advantage of the entire day of Sunday to give you a prophecy conference, one-day conference that will help you to understand where we are in many of the current events that are unfolding in our world today. That's the Grace Baptist Church over in Columbus, Georgia. Well, we're going now to Palm Beach, Florida. He went down the road a little bit from Jacksonville, where he lives, and Ken Timmerman, the man who covers geopolitical activities for us, is a speaker at the conference there in Palm Beach, and we want to find out what he's going to be talking about, but then we'll have a conversation with him as well. Ken, I'm excited about your speaking here at the event unfolding there in Palm Beach.
Well, Jimmy, I'm very proud and happy to be at the David Horowitz Freedom Center here at their annual Restoration Weekend, and I'm going to be talking about the foreign policy of Donald Trump.
That'll be exciting. You do that with us right here on Prophecy Today as well. So we'll give everybody a preview, and then you'll have a great opportunity to speak to that issue there at the conference. Let's talk about the situation with Iran first. Before I want to get to Turkey and the visit by Tayyip Erdogan to the president there at the White House. But Iran has strongly condemned the Israeli assassination of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad commander, which has resulted in quite a few attacks on Israel from the Gaza Strip area. What do we know?
Well, look, the commander who was killed was the head of the military wing of Islamic Jihad. Islamic Jihad is the group that Iran sponsors and has always sponsored in the Gaza Strip. They're helping Hamas and they're providing military aid to Hamas, but there have been moments when Iran has backed off in that aid. Islamic Jihad, they have always sponsored. So the Israelis caught the guy, they killed the guy. The name was Abu al-Atta, who was really the head of their military wing for Islamic Jihad, and was behind many, many attacks against Israel. The Israeli Defense Force said that they had information he was planning another imminent attack, and that's when they killed him. The Iranians said, "We condemn this, obviously," and they've ordered their minions to strike against Israel. We'll have to see how far those strikes go. So far, it's been missile attacks, the new normal between these terror groups and Israel.
Yes, and though they have declared war, that may be a bit of bravado because Islamic Jihad, I think, would not have a chance against the Israeli Defense Force, even though the targeted assassination is pretty effective as the Israeli Defense Force is concerned. They say they're not going to back away from that. They're going to continue it. But a declaration of war is a bit too much, don't you think, from Islamic Jihad?
Well, as you say, they don't have the capability of doing that, and the Israelis have a great means of striking back. And once again, you know, look here at the difference between the U.S. reaction when this type of thing happens today under President Trump, who has said nothing about it, not a word of condemnation of Israel, and under President Obama, who would have blasted the Israelis and who even changed America's voting habits at the United Nations to stay silent when other countries were condemning Israel. So we now have a president who understands that Israel has a right to self-defense. This was a defensive action against a terrorist who is plotting yet more terror attacks against Israeli civilians.
And if Trump has said anything, he says that Israel has the right to defend themselves. So that puts Israel in good stead as far as the United States is concerned. Well, there was a visit by Tayyip Erdogan, who is the president, seemingly the president for life, there in Turkey. And it was a kind of a contentious meeting, I understand, because some of the U.S. senators were in the meeting with President Trump and Tayyip Erdogan. What's your observations of what did take place?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. President Trump thought it necessary to bring in five key Republican senators, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee and others, Rick Scott of Florida, to essentially show Erdogan that he was the good guy, he was the good cop in the room, and watch out, you better deal with me, the good cop, who's going to hold your feet to the fire, because otherwise you're going to get all of these bad cops who are promising right here and now to your face that the U.S. Senate and Congress in general will impose new sanctions on Turkey if Turkey does not scale back its military operations in northern Syria and stop its attack against Kurdish civilians. Now, Erdogan thought he was going to steal the show. He pulled out an iPad during this meeting in the White House and showed a crude propaganda film about the head of the Kurdish, the YPG, the Kurdish military arm fighting ISIS, claiming that he was a terrorist himself. And Lindsey Graham, who was in the room, said, well, gee, you want me to go to the Kurds and have them make a propaganda film about your actions?
Yeah.
What do you see what that one's going to look like, Mr. President, he said to Erdogan. So, yes, it was a very contentious meeting, and Erdogan is an extraordinarily arrogant person, and he behaved with great arrogance, and I think he's going to get a comeuppance from the U.S. Congress.
You know what's interesting to me, Ken, is both Turkey and the United States are members of NATO, which is pretty key, but really, there is no relationship, or it seems to be a deteriorating relationship between the United States and Turkey. They're really no U.S. ally, are they?
Well, the interesting thing to add here, Turkey was one of the founders of ISIS. Turkey helped ISIS to market its oil. It bought the oil into Turkey. Turkey has created hospitals to treat ISIS fighters. Turkey has brought ISIS fighters into its own militias that it's now redeploying into northern Syria. And this is as an ally. What would Turkey have done if they were actually an adversary of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Would they have done worse things than they're doing as a so-called ally? I think it's pretty clear that they're not behaving as an ally. What remains to be seen is what we can do about it as the United States government. The president is really in a quandary. He's got traditional thinkers at the Pentagon who say, well, Turkey's a member of NATO and we have to accommodate them. But Turkey has violated the NATO charter. We've spoken about this in previous weeks and I've written about this. They are in violation of the North Atlantic Charter by unilaterally attacking another country without the backing of NATO. NATO also has no mechanism, by the way, for expelling members. That's not part of the charter. You know, it's never happened before. So we are in uncharted territories. What to do with a so-called ally, Turkey, who's no longer behaving like an ally?
Yes, that'll be a quandary that NATO, the leadership there, has to deal with, seemingly in the very near future. One more item about Turkey. Looks like a lot of hate speech against Christians and Jews taking place there in Turkey. And really, instead of condemning it, Erdogan is enhancing the opportunity for that to take place. Now, I know that you are very much on top of persecution of Christians in the Middle East, but Turkey, this hate speech against Christians and Jews is going to enhance the activities of persecuting Christians and Jews.
Well, absolutely, Jimmy. Let's not forget, it was 104 years ago in Turkey that a Turkish government launched the first genocide of the 20th century against Christians, against Armenians, Assyrian Christians, and Greek Orthodox. Okay, so it was Turkey, the homeland of genocide in the early 20th century. Erdogan is using much the same language that was used by his predecessors at that time, and it's absolutely shocking to hear this. He has been tweeting out in Arabic, saluting ISIS fighters who are now fighting under Turkish flag against the Kurds. He has been saluting these anti-Semitic statements and anti-Christian statements that are popping up all over the country from leaders of his local leaders of his party. Erdogan has not backed off from it. He's not tried to separate or distance himself from it. He has embraced this new wave of anti-Semitism and anti-Christian rhetoric and actions. They're closing churches in Turkey as well, the few that have remained. Remember, there are not that many churches that remain. They were destroyed during the genocide from 1915 to 1919. So the few that remain, he is destroying. He is talking about making Hagia Sophia, the great cathedrals in Istanbul, in, you know, recommitting it as a mosque. This is a man who has set up the abomination of desolation in Istanbul and in Ankara.
Yeah, this a prototype of that which is to come. Very, very interesting. The Russians, especially in the Defense Department, they need to be listening to what the United States is doing, because they're leaking just as bad as many of the departments throughout the entire U.S. government. Looks like they're leaking out right now information about the Israeli Defense Force, their weapons, etc. And they have put out information that hundreds of F-35s are going to be put in many hangars that are being built in Israel. This is not good for security of Israel, is it?
But this is a disinformation campaign by the Russians aimed at stoking hatred of Israel and the United States in the Middle East, with their allies, the Russian allies in Syria, in the Middle East, but also by ordinary people. They did this all during the Cold War. It's no surprise to see them doing it again.
Yes, Russian propaganda machine at work. That's Ken Timmerman, folks. He's down in Palm Beach, Florida, loving the weather down there, I'm sure, but he's there to speak at a conference, and let's pray for Ken as he does address the conference there. Ken, thank you so very much. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Always my pleasure. God bless.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, David Dolan's standing by. He's got a Middle East news update. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.